Okay. While we were waiting for people to join, I almost forgot. We do record these calls. What happens is we have these informal calls every 2 weeks. And we're actually, this is the eighth cycle. So we've done eight cycles of these, and each cycle has 10 calls in them. So every 2 weeks we'll have a call the same time, same place, every 2 weeks, so every other Wednesday. But this is the last call in this cycle. So we're finishing up. We've done 10 calls in this cycle, and unfortunately some of you have not been on all of them, but that's okay. The way they're set up is people join us as they can, and then we record the calls, and we also have post-session notes where we make announcements and we get everyone on a listserv so we no one misses. We have about 160 people that kind of tune in, and they come and go from the calls, but these recordings allow them to look at them later if they want to on our website, the brownfieldtoolbox.org. So, but what I was kind of getting before I forgot to record the call, I was talking about the history of job training and to give you a little perspective of where we're at and also kind of where we're going. And it's been a, I kind of talked about the legislative history of the project, how it started and off to solid waste emergency respond, and how it's always remained there as the home. They're the keepers of the program, and that some of these other program offices are starting to join in. And as these other program offices join in, they're kicking some money into the pot. And so that allows us to two things. We could expand the number of jobs we're training for. It used to be 3 or 4 years ago, you couldn't really train for waste. They didn't want you to train wastewater people because this was funded out of Office of Solid Waste Emergency Respond, and that was another program office. So if you were teaching air, or they would discourage you teaching air, or even they would discourage if you were not in a brownfields, or if you were teaching water, because they weren't contributing to the program. But these, as these program offices join this program, they're bringing in those, and we're also bringing in those program offices. And now they're encouraging people to train in water, wastewater. As I said, not yet in the air. Hopefully next year it will be, or the year after. And it also allows the communities to expand the occupations that they're training in. We'd like to give the students a broad education about all of the program offices. There's so many, air, water, solid waste, emergency response, radiation, urban agriculture. You know, we've got the hazardous materials. There are many occupations, so it's hard to train them all. But so we kind of zero in on the what we would call the money occupations, those that have demand. But as I explained, we've expanded the program offices, but the appropriations, the way these programs work is you have to be authorized to do this in a bill or in some sort of law by Congress. And originally it was CERCLA, and then it became the Brownfields Act that authorizes EPA to be doing this training. But once you're authorized to do it, doesn't mean that you can do it. You have to have the funds to do it, to give out grants, and you have to have the authority to give grants. So Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response has authority, granting authority, to give out grants, and they do get an appropriation, and that appropriation's been around $2 million a year. This is a really small program in comparison to labor programs that you see some of these labor programs of $500 million or $300 million, huge, multi-year, large programs. The people in EPA have purposely kept this really small. By being really small, it's not really a target, and they always wanted to have a kind of a lean, small program that would not become political on either side of the aisle. And they've been very successful that way. It's during Republican administrations it did well. During Democratic administrations it's done well. The Conference of Mayor really supports this program, as you would expect, because of the local nature and because of the jobs that it provides locally. So, but it really hasn't gotten a lot of money. They haven't really pursued a lot of money. they've tried to keep it relatively small on purpose. And so that's why we've always been pushing for multi-year grants, maybe 3 to 5 years rather than 2 to 3 years. Right now we're at 3. We've been pushing and will continue to push to perhaps up the ante of the amount they give. Instead of 200,000, maybe go to 300,000 or 400,000. It would probably make your jobs a little easier, and you could plan a little longer. So we're working on it. Those of us who are interested in this program and are not in EPA are kind of always pushing for a little bit more money and a little bit more time for these programs, keep them going. And also the other thing we're pushing for is to what I call re-ups, more re-ups. And when I use the word re-up, I'm talking about you get a grant and you start developing your program, you get some great partners, and you're ramping up and you've got some classes, and year one, year two, you're getting referrals, and you've got graduates who are going out in the industry and they love your program, and then all of a sudden you lose the EPA money. And that, you know, you go to the third year and then all of a sudden you reapply and you don't get it. And this is something I'm sure it's frustrating for the grantees, and we see it, and we're trying to see what we can do to have those performers who are doing well to keep getting funded. The program is designed to be a leverage program. The way they originally designed it is as startup money. They felt you could get this grant and you can get your program going, and then you can look for Department of Labor money, or you could use state money, or you could get foundation money, and you can get a lot of in-kind donations, and all those things happen. We've got some grantees that have gone off on their own and gotten state money, and they don't need EPA money anymore. We've gotten people who are doing really well. He had to leave early, but out in Oakland, Art Shanks has done great. He's linked up with Youth Build construction programs. There's many Youth Build programs that have gotten large Department of Labor money or HUD money, and the people who got started in brownfields were able to link into one of these larger programs, and these programs just expanded. So they really, after a while, didn't even need the EPA money. But there are many programs out there that they do need the EPA money. And one nice thing is that EPA has kind of morphed from, in the old days, if you got a grant, you couldn't come back to the trough. And because they had such few resources, they felt it wasn't fair. There was such a big demand for grantees, they felt that they had to spread this around. But I think they realized, and it's just my opinion, I think they realized that they had some really good performers and they had to keep those programs going. So I think about half, it's never been a fixed number, but I think sometimes about half of the grantees are re-ups, in other words, old grantees who have done well, and then half of them are new. And they usually grant about 10 of them every year, so about 5 and 5 of the 60 or so that are applied. So out of 60, say 10 or 12 are funded, and then about half are old and half are new. So as a result, we've had some grantees who have been refunded 3 times or so, they needed the money to keep going, and they performed well, and they wrote compelling grants, and they have been refunded. So we would like to see more of that, but we also know that we have to expand this program because we've got a couple thousand brownfields grants, but we've got only 100 training grants that have been financial assistance have been granted. So we're talking about 5 to 10% of the brownfield grants are in training. So we, as a general trend, we feel we need to do a lot more in terms of training. And there seems to be the demand because, as I said, they're getting 50 or 60 grantees applying for funds, and they can only fund a dozen or so. So there's definitely the need out there. So many of us that are not in EPA are pushing to try to expand the program. And again, what we're doing today is just kind of giving an overview of the EPA Brownfield Job Training Program. In the next series, we're going to start off with, and we'll have a lot of new grantees. The next series of 10 calls that we're going to have, we're going to go back to the technical aspects of Brownfield's job training and all of the things you need to do to build a sustainable program. But today I just wanted to kind of give a sum up of where the program is, where it's going, and a little bit about job training in general. One of the concerns that we have, and it's not something I think that's it's not something to be alarmed about, but we've been also watching what's happening in Congress. And there is a move, and this move has been on for about 5 or 6 years. There's been some GAO studies that have said we've got something like 25 agencies who are doing job training. And these agencies are duplicative. Now, this is a GAO report that came out about a year or so ago. And they said, maybe what we should do is consolidate all these into the Department of Labor. And what has happened in the last year concerns us a little bit. The House of Representatives, and concurrently to this, the Workforce Investment Board's WEA Act has to be refunded. They're operating under an old authorization, and it has to be reauthorized. And so kind of like the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act, the law that allows WEA, the Workforce Investment Board's exist, needs to be updated. So all of these things are coming together, and there's some talk in Congress about, well, let's put all training into one agency. And there was a bill called H.R. 803 called the Skills Act. And if you have a chance, you might look it up, H.R. 803. It actually passed the House. And it was passed on a partisan vote. All of the Republicans were for it. All the Democrats basically walked out on this bill. And the bill basically said, let's eliminate all the training in all these agencies, and let's give all the money to WEA. But what we'll do is give it to the governors, and they can do whatever they want with the money. And also, we're going to take the representation on the Workforce Investment Boards away. Right now, it's mandated that they have union people, and they have people from the community, and so community colleges are represented, organized labor is represented, so that the workforce investment boards in each state have a representation of the community. Well, this new act that was proposed would say, no, we're just going to give the money to the governor, and he can decide what he wants to do with it. Well, as you could imagine, there was a big uproar, and the Easter Seals, all the organized labor, National Teachers Association, many organizations have come out against this act. It did pass the House, and it's in the Senate now. It's in the House Education Committee, and it's in the subcommittee. And it's a good question of, there's a good chance it'll just be tabled and it'll never go in anywhere, because the Democrats appear to be against it, the Republicans are for it, and so there's a good chance it'll be not see the light of day. The concern that we have in the job training community about these acts is, it could take programs like the EPA Job Training Act and make it much more challenging for them to do this. So one of the things we're doing is making sure that we voice our opinions, not as grantees, but just as personal individuals, that are how we feel about this. We feel strongly that job training belongs local, and that to target these very specific communities, you need to have this very specialized program. I've had many comments from people that said, Our Workforce Investment Board is great, and we work well with them. And I've had others that say it's not working, and we can't get anything out of our Workforce Investment Board, and they're of no help to us at all. So we're a little concerned in that respect that that there would be any threats to the EPA program. So those of us who are just interested in job training are looking into these programs and kind of watching out for them. And, of course, government people can't do that. We as individuals can, not supported by any grant or anything, but just as personal individuals. And but I wanted to kind of go over the history of where we're at, where we're going. It's my hope that this new Workforce Skills Act will fall in the right direction, and hopefully it'll remain authorized in EPA. And the EPA program has a lot of support all the way up to the top, and we have every indication that it's going to continue to be funded every year. Even in these cuts, I think the workforce program fared well. I think that while they're trying to cut EPA budget, there's more people that are interested in joining in this program. So I think it's got a bright future. So the bottom of the line here is, any of you that are thinking of starting a job training program in your community, I would keep the planning process going. If you've got a program, I would see if you can re-up. I would assume that we're going to have another competition either again in November, and if it's delayed, it might be into the beginning of the year, and then awards. This cycle seems to be fairly routine every year. They say they're going to come out with the RFP in November. Sometimes it's delayed a little bit. They always say it's going to come out in November, and then it's delayed till January. It comes out, and then it's due in April, and then they make the awards before the summer. And then we have our conference in our annual meeting this year will be September 18th. And, of course, anyone that joins the next round of PLC, any of the PLC members are also invited to that annual grantee meeting. We have HMTRI sponsors an annual grantee meeting where all of the grantees get together and talk about all of the issues and problems that they have, and what works and what doesn't. And we like to have PLC members who are either past grantees or want to start a program. We like to have them attend too, because they can get a really good feel and start networking with some of the people who are in the program. So that kind of is and I've done a lot of talking. I try not to do too much talking on these calls. But I just wanted, as the last call of this cycle, I just wanted to kind of give an overview of where we came from in job training and the EPA program and kind of where we're going. And I would say everything is positive at this point. And looking up, I think everyone's going to be pleased when they announce the new round of grantees. And for those who don't make the cut, we're encouraging them to do two things. One, come to these PLCs on the next series, and then come to the grantee meeting. It's free except for getting there. You have to get there, and then the hotel and some of the meals are picked up, and then start building, and we'll start working on building your program, getting your partners lined up, and then getting your partners lined up and looking at your employers to see if there are employers in your community that are interested in hiring your graduates. And then once you, as I said at the conference, if you work backwards, you'll be in fine shape. You find out if there's a demand in your community, find out if the employers are enthusiastic about starting this program, and then if they are, then you find out if the city government's interested in it, and then you find out who in your community you can partner with, and you look for organizations that could build your team. and then you start looking for facilities, infrastructure places where classrooms, whether it's a community college or some training facility. You find someone who's had administrative experience so that hopefully they've applied for federal grants before. It might be a youth build, or it may be your organization or community college. And then you you start looking for funding sources, of which EPA is one of them. This whole idea of working backwards is not a bad approach. And then, of course, once you get your program set up, we talk about how to recruit successful participants and that type of thing. Did anyone have any questions on kind of the history or where we're going? I can't certainly speak for EPA. The nice thing about these calls is we're a third party. We can talk to people about EPA. Anyone have any questions of where they think the program's going and what their experiences are? Any comments?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to speak a little bit about the Brownfields 2013. It was a great conference. I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more on job training. We had a nice session, and there was an EJ session. But as I had mentioned, there's 5 to 10% of Brownfields are actually have training programs in terms of grants versus assessment, and training is kind of a stepchild, and it wasn't a large focus at this meeting. I wish there was more in terms of the plenary sessions. They were talking about the great things that were happening in Atlanta, which is wonderful, in Nashville, North Carolina, and what was happening in building light rail and all of the wonderful greenways they're building, but there was not a lot about we're training the community. What are we doing to give jobs to people in the community? There wasn't a lot of that, and I think that we're going to push to do more on that, and our criticisms will be to them, and in terms of our discussions, we want more in terms of how are you putting the community to work? What kind of programs can we develop on the local level to get jobs to people that are living in these communities? And what about the gentrification that's occurring when we build all this wonderful infrastructure, and what's happening? You know, are we, it's fine to clean up and give people a nice place to live, and it's good. There are construction jobs, but what about the environmental jobs? Are we bringing in high-paid consultants from the next state over, or some of these national firms, or are we actually, what can we do to train some of our local people? So we're going to keep our feet to the fire here and keep on EPA and try to keep this program as vibrant as we can. And because the grantees, this is very difficult work, and those of you who are doing it really deserve a lot of credit and certainly all the help you can get. So one of the things I know EPA would like you to know, and we would certainly reiterate it, is that I think there are a lot of people, those of us interested in environmental justice and in job training and community development, we're trying to make sure this program not only survives, but it expands. So we're going to kind of keep pushing in that area. Otherwise, those who were not able to get to Atlanta, I hope you'll, in terms of job training, I hope you're going to be able to come to our annual meeting, because that's going to be in September 18th. And get onto our next, we'll announce the next round of professional learning community calls in about a month. It'll be end of June. And if you don't have a grant, get on those calls, and we'll send you an invite to the annual meeting in September. It's in Alexandria, September 18th, and get you going in that respect. And, of course, what we do is also we send out post-session notes on all these meetings. And, of course, one of the things we do is try to keep these to 30 minutes, so it's not a big portion of anyone's day. And I, again, kind of apologize for being kind of a talking head today. We try to make this a little more interactive, but it's the last one, and I did want to kind of just give everyone an overview of where we were going and what we think's ahead for this program, and kind of encourage everyone to get into the next round of PLCs. So, and those of you who came to the session, I appreciate you coming. We had a good session, and I sent everyone out the people who were there. I'll also send out in the notes, I'll send out a participant list so that everyone has that. In fact, I'll send out a participant list of the PLCs so that anyone that you may want to contact on this list, you'll be, if you need to contact someone that's interested in job training, you'll be able to email them. So, well, with that, we'll let you all get on with your day.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, thanks, and thanks for coming, and we hope to see you all soon. And
have a good day.
This is 10
thanks,
of 10,
Mike.
So we'll see you in about in next month. Okay. Take care now.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is going to be a bear of the day. Yeah.
Thank you.
did I close that? My notebook. Oh, maybe
are you on the name to this is bizarre. I just tried it. Oh my God, it's just not here. The same thing is happening to me right now. Duh. Some kind of like leprechaun or something, I think it is, Melissa. Wasn't I? It's super, something supernatural, you know? Yeah. Somebody to blame.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. All right, yeah. Got another conference call, so. Oh, yeah.